Bourbon Beards and Belvederes. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
I'm Jerry.
And today we're smoking, drinking, and trying some beard products. We have our very first in-person guest today, Mr. Chris Reif. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing good. Thank you all for having me here. I feel honored and privileged. It's always a good time to hang out here with Adam and enjoy his selections that he has, and to be a part of this podcast is pretty cool, because we have our own side podcast that we're doing currently.
Absolutely.
And so he offered me the chance to come, and I took advantage of it for sure. It's a good time.
And so Chris he's bearded, clearly.
Yeah.
He likes whiskey. He likes cigars.
I do.
And he also happens to be an Army veteran. So I couldn't really think of a more fitting guest for us to have on, especially somebody that we could get in person, because that, since we're all spread out in different places, Kentucky, Maryland, Florida, it's hard to get guests in person. So before we, you know, get to talking to Chris and learning a little bit about him, what's everybody starting with as a palate warmer? I'm going to defer to the guest, and then I'll start at the top left and go down.
Adam and I are enjoying the Old Forester 86 proof, which is just a solid beginner. It's not too much gasoline. Just kick you off, and it's just, you know, got the nice little sip to it. So it's something easy to get started with before you get up to the big boys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jared, what you got?
With Fueling Station out of Old Dominic in Memphis, Tennessee. It's their straight bourbon from, I think it's a contract distilled from MGP. 52 corn, 44 rye, and 4 malted barley. 100 proof. The two pours we got later on in the show are a little bit high octane, so I figured I'd try to get the palate revved up a little bit before we get into those. So, yeah, it's a good pour. I grabbed these a couple of years ago when I was in Memphis. Unfortunately, the distillery was closed. They were doing some kind of renovation, so I couldn't go, but glad I picked it up. Good bottle. It's like $35 or something like that.
Awesome. Paul?
I'm starting off with Copper Fox Rye Whiskey out of Virginia, local to me. It's a really good bottle. This is the local grown rye, but they finish it in toasted apple wood and cherry wood. So it's real like fruit forward, like you get apple on the nose and it carries through on the palate. It's a good rye.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. This Old Forester 86 happens to be one of Paul's dailies. He's a very big fan of the Old Forester 86.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 86 proof, easy to sip. For the price, you know, you can't really beat it. It's a good cheap bottle you can find anywhere. So Old Forester does no wrong.
Yeah, we were just talking before we came on. My daily drinker usually is Old Forester 100 proof, because again, for the price, you can find it almost anywhere. For the price, you can't beat it. It's like $22 usually at Kroger. And, you know, just a solid pour, 100 proof is enough to get it done.
Sure.
Just drink a couple of those and you're right where you need to be.
Absolutely. So, Chris, fill us in on who you are, where you're from, you know, when did you enlist, that kind of thing. And then we'll go a little deeper as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm from arguably Lexington, Jessamine County. You know, people are familiar with the area. They probably understand Jessamine County is just a glorified suburb of Lexington.
Sure.
And I'll admit it. You know, joined the Army in 2007 during the height of the surge in Iraq and Afghanistan was happening. And I did 3 years active duty as a cavalry scout. And then I came back home and did the rest of my time as a combat engineer, a reclass. Spent 2 years in Germany during that time. Was based out of Baumholder, Germany. Had a lot of fun there. I've shared some stories with Adam. He's heard some wild tales from my adventures in the military with our other podcast. But got 15 months in Iraq in a place called Salman Plaque. A lot of stuff happened there, you know, good days and bad days, but that's not what we're here for. But I really love serving my country. I loved the honor and the privilege of being able to do so. And, you know, it's a once in a lifetime experience that you're either living it or you're not. And it's something totally different. But then I came back home and, you know, got a regular 9-to-5 job like everybody else, try to make it work and, you know, just landed here.
Sure. Oh, we thank you for your service. We like to support veterans any way that we can here. We've done a giveaway for veterans charities here. We try to highlight veterans charities the way we can. any time that we can. If we can have a product on that is also veteran owned, we really like to highlight those, you know, pretty much any time that we're able to do so. And fortunately, there are a plethora of veteran owned companies out there. More often than not, we find that there's a lot of veterans involved in the beard game, but there are some that are involved in the whiskey game as well. A good friend of ours, Brian Dewar, shout out to 10th Mountain Distilling. He's been on the show, and you know, Marco was on. He's a Spirit Animal Society member. You know, he's got a great affinity for bourbon and cigars. He's not necessarily bearded, but he's done some pretty cool things in the military as well. So that other podcast, we're still in the works with that. So it hasn't been published yet. I'll make sure to let folks know whenever that goes live. We're still recording stories for Chris. And then once we conclude with those, we'll get that cut down into a few, you know, 5, 6, 7 episodes. I think we're sitting at six now. I get the feeling we got quite a bit to go. So
yeah, we at least have 2 more episodes in us, I think.
And then once we get those, then we'll the three of us, myself and Chris and our other co-host, a mutual friend of ours, Nick Daniel, we'll move on and bring in other veterans. So the three of us will be sitting and talking to veterans about their stories. And it's pretty in depth. It's not exactly lighthearted. I mean, there's some episodes that will be, and then there's some that won't. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's going to be awesome. I mean, hopefully it'll be therapeutic for those veterans that we bring on. So
it has been for me.
Awesome.
I can honestly say that, and we talked about this yesterday and talking to my trauma therapist that I go to. He was really happy to hear that I was doing this just for a therapeutic standpoint for me. But he said, you know what? I talk to Green Berets, CIA officers. I talk to all kinds of people that, you know, served and do some crazy stuff. They do the cool guy stuff in the middle of the night that nobody ever hears about. But you, Chris, you live the actual, like, everyday Army and the mundane bullcrap that you had to deal with, and then the craziness you had to deal with, and then the good times you had to deal with. That's going to identify with more people. And that's true. That's what I'm hoping people get out of that podcast. But I digress. We're not here for that today. We're here for some good bourbon, good cigars, and I guess some good stories too.
That's right. So let's move on, guys. You guys ready for the whiskey of the week?
Oh,
yep. Poured.
All right. So this is that there are picks of this particular bourbon out there. This is not a pick. This is just a standard bottle. It is 4 years and 1 month old. And this particular bottle was bottled in 2018. This is batch 19, coming in at 114.7 proof. This is Backbone Bourbon. This is uncut, obviously, straight bourbon whiskey. And I got this at Total Wine. I don't know the price currently, but I feel like this was about $35.
It's not bad.
And it is available. It there are bottles that just hang out on the shelf. This is one that people should know about and don't. It is distilled at MGP, I believe. Let me look at the back of the bottle. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's distilled at MGP, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. So that's MGP. Bottled by Backbone Bourbon Company in Bardstown. I don't know of an actual thing, sir. I don't know of an actual company there in Bardstown that has a sign that says Backbone on the front of the building. So my guess is this is a shell company that's set up by a larger organization. They, you know, these large, like, you know, Buffalo Trace has a couple and Heaven Hill. I don't know who bottles this, and this is all speculation. I don't know that for sure. Regardless, this is a very enjoyable whiskey. Now, the nose is, I don't know about you guys, it's pretty light for me, especially for 114 proof. I'm not getting a whole lot. Like, it's not just filling up my nose, but I get a lot of brown sugar, some maple, and some leather, a little bit of oak. And honestly, I can actually pick up some floral notes, like a little bit of rye. Chris, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think for me, my nose, it is picking up a strong alcohol on it on the nose, because it's got a little burn inside the nostrils, but in a good way, in a good way. And I do agree with the leather for sure. Mm-hmm. I do see that.
I'm actually getting a little bit stronger. So I may have had too much cigar in my nose at first, but I'm getting some citrus too, a little bit of bubble gum.
Jerry, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's that brown sugar, maple, molasses notes. Not, I get like that. I get a little bit of that citrus in there. It's a nice nose. It's sweet, but it's not like overpowering sweet. Yeah,
I think that's a good thing. Sweet, but not overpowering sweet.
Yeah, it's not like when I say brown sugar molasses, it's not like a rum sweetness, but it's the same concept. Yeah, it's good news. I'm curious about this one because I don't think we get Backbone down here. I was looking on their website for their distributors, and they don't have anything down here in Florida. Closest one looks like you guys or Tennessee or, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you end up liking it, you know a guy. So, Paul, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, pretty much more the same. I mean, I'm getting it's like a bready cinnamon brown sugar. Then there's a little bit of sweetness to finish it off, kind of like a cinnamon crumb cake or something like that. But there is that little bit hint of citrus I pick up every once in a while that kind of doesn't really fit with the other profile. So I'm real interested to see what it tastes like.
All right, guys. Well, enough suspense. Bottoms up. Cheers.
I think for me, toffee.
Toffee?
I don't know why. I get like some caramels and toffee.
I can see that.
And it kind of gets back to the brown sugar, I think, that you kind of pick up on in the note.
I do get the sweet kind of brown sugar. Toffee is not really my jam, so I shouldn't say it that way. I should rephrase and say that I've not really had a whole lot of toffee in my lifetime. I get the brown sugar and I get tea. I get a whole lot of tea. The finish isn't exactly as long as I would imagine 114 proof to be, but that's not a bad thing for me.
That is a 4-year-old.
It is.
It's got some youth to it.
Sure.
Not quite that patina on it. Yet.
But I do enjoy it. I like it a lot.
That's cool.
Jerry?
I'm glad you said toffee. That hit me right up front, followed by more of that molasses, like caramels. But I also get a little bit of like a cinnamon red hot candy towards the back end. Okay, too. I feel like the citrus is trying to come through, but it doesn't fully make it through all the dark caramels and the cinnamon, but there is a touch of like fruity sweetness in there too for me.
Yep, I get that. Starts off the same as you said, like cinnamon, brown sugar, caramel, but that sweetness for me is apple. I mean, it punches me on the back end. It's just like apple. And then it fades into that oaky, tea, tannic, leather finish, and it is a pretty short finish, but I mean, overall, it's pretty complex for being, you know, a 4-year. I mean, because it definitely changes across the palate, and I've had like 3 sips now, and each time it kind of, that finish, the palate stays the same, but the finish kind of evolved a little bit more. I'm picking up more and more. I didn't have that tea until Adam said it and put it in my head, but I definitely get that tea is there, and there's a little bit of tannic, like that from the oak, the leather. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty good. Did you see how much this was?
Yeah, I just looked it up. So it's gone up to about $54 is what Total Wine's showing it at.
Yeah, that's definitely worth it. This is a good pour.
For sure.
It's got a great mouthfeel. Yeah. Even though it doesn't have the greatest finish, it sits around in the mouth, coats the mouth real nicely.
When I chewed on it a little bit, Paul, I did get that apple. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that jumped out to me. I was expecting to find the citrus that I've found on the nose, but it was more of a fruity, and then the apple jumped out. So, I mean, it's pleasant. I like driving, you know, if it would have just been straight cinnamon, caramel, brown sugar straight across the board, I don't think it would have been, you know, as nice of a pour. That apple right on the back end kind of rounds it all out.
I think for me, I was looking for that cinnamon or that citrus. And when that apple or whatever fruitiness came through, I think that's what I was doing, because now I get that a little bit of like that apple skin going, but base towards the end.
It doesn't drink like, well, before I get to that, I'm actually picking up some butterscotch too. in the mouthfeel. There's, if that makes any sense, there's a flavor in the mouthfeel and a little bit of butterscotch, but this doesn't drink like 114.7 proof. I would say that it drinks a little bit more closely to 100 proof, and that makes it dangerous because it's fucking sneaky. That shit will sneak up on you. Now, I've had this bottle for a while. I did look at Total Wine right now. They are out of stock, but you know, they do carry it, and that's where I got this bottle. I've had this bottle. This bottle hit my radar because of Blue Collar. They had it on there. I don't think it was the uncut, but it hit my radar because of them. And I bought this bottle right after we moved into this house, which was the latter part. Well, I say the latter, it was July, the very end of July, 2020. So I've had this bottle for about almost 4 years, and I'm only halfway through it. Now it sits downstairs in my bar, and I'm only down here whenever we have people over or whenever I'm doing a podcast or both, but there's so many bottles down here that it my eyes skip over it for the most part, which is great because it's hiding in plain sight. I'm not going to go through the bottle too fast, but
it's like a fun surprise that you come back to.
110.
Like, oh, yep. Forgot about this old fella.
Exactly. Later. So, and I happened to look over one day and I asked Paul and Jerry if they'd ever had it, and they hadn't. So I sent them samples, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to have on this particular episode. And we wanted to go with things that I had here because you were going to be here, just to make it more simplified and make sure that there was enough that we could share and you could partake. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so great pour, great whiskey. It's worth the money. That definitely worth the money before the price went up, because like I said, I got this bottle. I'm pretty sure it was like 35, maybe 40 bucks at the time. And yeah, it's good shit. It's good stuff. So, and I got to say, with the cigar, you know, this is a milder cigar.
They do pair well.
They pair very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this cigar, of course, I got this from JR Cigars, as I do. And it's a mild cigar. It's, you know, it's, you can tell by looking at it that it's a mild cigar. This is a Romeo y Julieta Reserva Real. And
hey, that's seven times fast.
Yeah. it's a damn good cigar, and it's going really well with this bourbon. And I'm not surprised. We found on this show that some juxtaposition is warranted. So high proof whiskey with a milder cigar usually works out really well. And the reverse is true as well. We have found some exceptions, as when we had Tim Jones on the show, but you can get a pack of five of these from JR Cigars for $15. You can get a box of 25 for $228.99. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't pay $228 for these cigars. I don't know what I paid, but I got them on sale on JR Cigars. They have great, great deals on JR Cigars. We're not sponsored by JR Cigars or anybody else for that matter. So if there's anybody out there listening and you want to throw a sponsorship our way, you know, feel free. We like free stuff, and we also like to not pay to put this out there. We do, in fact, pay monthly to make sure that this actually gets out. So sponsors, hit us up. But the wrapper is Ecuador, Connecticut. The binder is Nicaraguan, and the filler is Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan, which is, you know, if you're looking for a Cuban feel to a cigar but can't get it, you know, because of laws and whatever the fuck, you're going to be looking for a Dominican. They're about as close as you can get to Cuban without them actually coming from Cuba. But, you know, I've said on the show many times, I'm a sucker for a Nicaraguan cigar. These do originate from the Dominican Republic. The website says that the strength is a medium strength cigar, and I have to disagree with that. This is a milder cigar.
I would concur. It's not punching above.
Right.
It's not punching below. It's just right there, mid level.
Exactly.
And I'm glad I like that. So this is my wheelhouse right here, this type of cigars.
That's a good cigar though. Yep. So how are you feeling about the pairing?
I think it's a great pairing. And then, you know, what you say makes sense. You know, if you got a lower proof bourbon, kick it up a notch with a cigar, vice versa. I think it's, I mean, with like, you kind of got like almost a butteriness with the backbone. You got this mild cigar. They're really just melding together good. Also, I mean, obviously nobody can see what I can see right now, but us four can. If you look at the wrapper on it, it looks like a WWE championship belt.
It does.
It does. It's got all these symbols on the side of it. I mean, it looks like this thing's a heavyweight fighter.
It's got the shape with the the you know, bump at the top. Yeah, all that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It looks like something Stone Cold would be wearing. In fact, it's got the medals out on the sides there, like they have.
I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, I never actually made that connection, but it does look like it. In fact, if you were to cut out on this line right here, cut out the bottom part of it, there you have it right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry, how you feeling?
No, this one's usually in my humidor most of the time. As much as I like a bolder cigar, every once in a while, it's nice to pull out a milder one. This one's definitely like medium, right down the line. Some nuttiness, a little bit of pepperiness. Nice little creamy mouthfeel. Burn line is almost dead nuts even. It's went out twice on me, but that was just because I lit it up before we started and was puffing on it and getting some notes and then put it down to taste the backbone and it went out and I started back up again. But it's all my fault. Construction is real nice. Draw is almost perfect. There's like barely anything holding it back. Ton of smoke coming out of it. Great taste. Pairs well with this whiskey, even with the Hewling Station. It doesn't, like some other pairings we've done, the whiskey or the cigar changes the flavor of the other one. This one doesn't. Like, you still get the same flavors from both of them, but it just enhances them. Like, I got more of like the brown sugar and I guess I got a little bit of more of like the leathery feel from the whiskey after puffing from the cigar, but it's not like it changes the whiskey or the cigar after doing, at least for me, which is nice sometimes because sometimes I want to grab this whiskey and know what I'm drinking. I want this cigar. I know what I'm smoking and I don't want it to change. I just want to relax outside. Nice day. So it's a nice pairing. Like I said, this is usually my humidor. It's a nice, cheaper cigar. Yeah. Good one.
Paul?
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a mild cigar. I'm getting a lot of nuttiness off of it, which is nice because I didn't get hardly any nuttiness off of the whiskey that we're drinking. So it pairs well, getting, you know, different notes, not, you know, mixing notes together. And like Jerry said, it pairs nicely, but it doesn't change the whiskey or the cigar like some do, which is not a bad thing, but it's nice to have, you know, what you're smoking, you know, what you're drinking, and they work well together. It's got a great draw, great burn line, hasn't gone out on me once, well-constructed cigar. And I mean, hell, for less than $3 a cigar for a 5-pack on JR Cigars right now, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
For sure.
I would add to the whole construction of it just because of the type. So I have a lot of saliva when I smoke cigars. It's just who I am. I also have a tendency to want to bite down on the cigar every now and then. So oftentimes I find myself with a cheaper cigar, it's falling apart at the end. Mm-hmm. And by the time I'm almost halfway done with it, it's like a hot mess. I've got tobacco in my mouth. Not had that problem with this cigar. Mm-hmm. This cigar is constructed very well, very firm. Not too firm, though. It's soft. It has good consistency, mm-hmm. and it's lasting. It's holding up. And I'm like a bulldog when it comes to these cigars.
Yeah.
That is one thing. It's not a... It smokes pretty fast for a cigar. It is, at least the one I have feels like it's packed nicely, but it is nice and it's soft, not too soft though, but it's not one that you're going to sit outside for a while. It goes pretty quick.
Yeah, it does. And these are, you know, the I don't remember what's that. These are 6 inches long, I believe. And probably 52.
I think it's the Toro. I was going to say it's probably the Toro, the 6x54.
Yeah.
And right now in JR Cigars, if you want a behemoth, they have the Magnum, the 6x60s, a box of 20 on a deal right now for $160.
No, it's not. So there are some brands out there that, so my favorite cigar is the Liga Provada number 9, you know, Drew Estate. They've got some cigars Drew Estate does that I just don't like. There are some brands out there that have some great cigars, and then they have some others that are not great. There are some brands out there that are like Old Forester, can do no wrong. Romeo e Julieta, or Julieta, I guess would be the better way to say that, more accurate way to say that. I've never had anything made by this company that I don't like. Aganorsa Leaf, I like everything that they make. They're just those brands. This is a great cigar. So I lit mine probably 20 minutes before Jerry got on, which was about 5:45, something like that. I'm just now into the last third. That's probably the straightest burn line I've ever had on a cigar.
I would wholeheartedly agree too.
It's fucking insane.
And we started roughly the same time
with our cigars. Yeah. That's a very well constructed cigar, and these folks do a incredible job.
And the ash breaks off evenly too.
Indeed.
I noticed that a few times when I've ashed, it breaks off really easily, evenly, just comes right off. It's not like you get like a quarter of the ash off, you got to twist it. No, you just little tap, little pull, and it's done.
Yeah, great cigar. So great pairing, great cigar. Very pleased with it. Look them up on JR Cigars. Look them up on their website as well. I don't have that now, but I will. So, Chris, obviously, you know, when you're in Iraq, you don't have the opportunity to really drink. You know, the military kind of frowns upon that when you're in active duty, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on leave or whatever, it's a little different. But and then again, you're in a dry country.
Yeah.
Not just the sand, you know, pun totally intended. There's no alcohol.
It is a Muslim country, yes, where exactly. Alcohol is highly frowned upon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's still there. I promise you. It is still there. You just got to know a guy. As with any case, it's true here too. If you want good stuff, you got to know a guy. But it is there. It's just not commonplace at all.
And that's kind of where I was going with it. Yeah. So I'll pose the question this way. Without naming names, did you know a guy?
It's funny you say this, because oddly enough, like 2 days ago, my wife and I were talking about this because she had questions. And it got brought up, like, did you all drink any over there? And I was like, no, we didn't drink over there. That was highly frowned upon. But two instances. I had an NCO. I'm not going to name names. But I wish I could name his name, but I'm not going to do that to him. I'll put it to you this way. This guy was the biggest redneck from the Ozarks of Missouri. And this dude knew how to make hooch, some strong hooch. And he had a Gatorade bottle. He took like oranges and some apples, I think, from the DFAC or cafeteria, if you will, put them in this Gatorade bottle. I don't know what exactly he did, but he set it on top of his. We lived in shipping containers. So, A, it's hot in Iraq, shocking. But also, we lived in these shipping containers. So they're just absorbing all of this heat. And he set it on top of his shipping container for like a week. And one day, it wasn't even day, I think it was like towards the evening, he comes stumbling up to me. He's like, hey, Rod, you're from Kentucky. I'm like, Roger, sir. Like, you like moonshine, don't you? It's like, Roger, sir, I'll drink some shine. He's like, here, you need to take a swig. And he hands me this Gatorade bottle that's been sitting on top of his shipping container for a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. And it was potent. It was some hard stuff. But man, when you haven't had anything to drink in 8, 9, 10 months, that's like liquid gold. That is the cleanest, best tasting hooch you've ever had in your life. And he did it a few times when we were out there in Iraq. So every now and then we got a little slug or something like that. It was never in bulk. It was never like batched up to where, you know, we could have a party or anything like that. Because again, if people found out, you were getting hemmed up. But second point I want to make, fun story. When I was in Iraq, a bit of controversy came up when they decided that they were going to let soldiers have 2 beers to watch the Super Bowl. And it did create a level of controversy. I think even back here in the States, we're giving soldiers beers in Iraq and stuff like that. I'm thinking to myself, in Vietnam, these guys were killing 6-packs every single night after coming back from patrol. Here I am in Iraq and I can't even have 2 beers, but they did let us have 2 beers. I think it was like Budweiser, maybe Mick Ultra. And then Guinness, like, yeah, these are your options. You could get two beers. And I was like, give me the Guinness. I haven't had a Guinness in forever. Let me have my 2 Guinnesses while I watch the Super Bowl. And It's those little things, like just the two beers. It's nothing. We're not getting drunk. We're just being able to be human again, be Americans again, watch some football. And it means the world.
Sure.
The guys over there, it really does. But those, it's got my two stories of drinking in Iraq, so to speak.
At least you weren't totally without. You know, and that brings me around to, and you and I have talked about this. We've talked about this on the show. A charity that I really think is awesome is Cigars for Warriors. You know, you donate cigars because, let's be honest, unless you're smoking multiple cigars a day, it's kind of hard to get through a box, you know, and most people that, well, I wouldn't say most people, but there's a lot of cigar collectors out there. So you got a bunch of cigars that are just hanging around. Why not donate them? Or some of them anyway. They package them up and ship them overseas to men and women that are serving. And that's kind of one of those small things that Chris referred to that, you know, reminds them that they're not just another cog in the machine. They are a human being, and here's a thing to enjoy, you know, just, you know.
And we did have, I don't know the company, couldn't recall it to save my life, but we did have a situation where somebody did send us, my platoon, like three boxes of cigars. And I remember my 21st birthday celebrated in Iraq. Awesome. You know, everybody else is going out to the bars and having a great time. And, you know, I'm in Iraq. But I did get a good cigar for my 21st birthday because somebody was kind enough to donate these cigars for our platoon. So it does go a long way. And it is very important. And if anybody has the opportunity to ship some soldiers or Marines or airmen or sailors any cigars, highly encourage you to do it. It does make a difference. When you've been away from home for so long and yet you miss your creature comforts, you know, the little things do add up. And sure, as simple as a cigar after a long day on the job, so to speak, it makes a difference.
Absolutely. So, you know, like I said, Chris is clearly he's a veteran. Now he's bearded. He's bearded as fuck, you know, but, you know, He couldn't have a beard in the military. Obviously, that's not really a thing unless you're out in the bush for a while.
That's changing though. They are revising some rules to allow beards, like sort of like their sheiks in the military or Sikhs in the military. They're allowed to grow their beards and also wear their traditional head dressing.
Okay,
as well, there are, I think they're currently reviewing some rules for a lot of pagans to have beards if they want to. So there's some changes in there, but when I was there, heck no, you ain't having no beard, yeah. Period. You ain't doing it.
Yeah, Sikhs are bad motherfuckers. Now that's the warrior class of India, in case people forget. You see those folks from India or Indian lineage with that turban on their head, beware of that fucking bracelet they've got on their wrist, because they can fuck you up. Now it's more of a ceremonial and religious situation, but back in the day they were the warrior class. So at any rate, now Chris is bearded. Unfortunately, Chris didn't have the opportunity to actually test out this beard product that we're going to showcase in this episode. He does have some beard oils. He had used some prior to meeting me. I have unloaded some of my substantial collection of beard products unto Chris.
Very generous of you, sir. And I take advantage of it because it's some of these products are really, really good products.
Sure.
You know, strong, not overly strong scented, sure, oils, and especially like some of the dippers. I find the dipper makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
In what you're getting out of the bottle.
Yeah.
And some of these dippers are really high quality. They're getting a lot of mLs out of there, and you really can coat your beard and really get it thick. I mean, I know your beard's always glistening in the sunlight, and I'm trying to emulate that, but my beard's, bless it, it is dry. It gets dried, so I have to constantly keep it oiled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a men with beards that actually take care of their beards, I would say spend as much time taking care of their beards as women do taking care of their hair. And it's a daily process. So with that said, Paul sent out this, or at least he sent me a sample. I don't know if he's sent Jerry a sample or if Jerry bought it. But Paul, tell us about this product, buddy.
Yeah, so just like last week, this is another budget oil and balm that I sent to you guys. This is a Goodfellow, and this is actually a Target brand. I think it's just a Target brand. I don't think they bought it and they sell it for somebody else. I believe it's just a Target brand. I think they sell clothing and cleaning products and everything under this Goodfellow brand name. It's cheap. It's $8 for a 1 ounce bottle of oil and $8 for 1.6 ounce tin of balm. So it's definitely budget friendly. The scent, I believe it's their only scent, is Moroccan mint and cedar. But I get, there's a lot of coconut oil in it, so I get coconut scents off of it too. It's definitely well made out of good ingredients. There's no silicones, sulfates, parabens, or synthetic dyes. The oil ingredients are sweet almond oil, castor oil, jojoba, vitamin E, and fragrance. The balm is shea butter, beeswax, coconut, aloe, grapeseed, avocado, apricot, pumpkin seed, jojoba, cocoa seed, and fragrance. So all natural ingredients, which we like to see in beard products. The balm, I really like. I like the scent. It's like a minty coconut kind of scent that I get off of it. I don't get much cedar, but I do like the scent. The balm works great. It thins out in your hand. I really like the balm. The oil, on the other hand, is some of the thickest oil that I've ever had. It does. I don't really like the consistency of the oil. I even tried to warm it up under like warm water in the sink to see if it could, you know, thin up a little bit. And it really doesn't. It's just too thick for me. I think this might be geared towards somebody with a shorter beard, like maybe three quarters of an inch or less. Somebody who keeps their beard, trimmed tight. I think this would probably work fantastic for that. But with a longer beard, like we all have, I felt they've just got too heavy and not, I don't want to say matted, but just, it was just too heavy on the beard. And I put oil on with the dropper to my skin, not to my beard normally. And then I just massage it in and then I'll add a little bit extra to the beard if I need to, but the oil is for the skin for me. And it just got too, like, it was hard to work through my beard. It was so thick. So great products, great ingredients, great price, great scent. It just, I think for longer beards, the oil, you might want to probably look to get a thinner oil. At least that's my, you know, my take on it. But the balm was great. The balm for $8 is great. So make sure you pop it open and make sure you like the scent, because I think they only have the one scent. But I'm going to look elsewhere for a thinner oil. But other than that, like I said, I mean, I have nothing else bad to say about it. It's just a little too thick for a longer beard, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Well, I was reticent when you told me what the scent was, and I popped it open. I was like, this is great. The mint that you spoke about, it's not overly minty. I expected, because in my experience with products like this that have mint involved, it's like rubbing mint leaves on your face. And then you're just like, fuck, now I smell like this. And that's all I can smell. That wasn't the case with this. It was enjoyable. The balm was great. The oil, it hadn't arrived to my home yet. And I remember Jerry sent you a meme that said this oil is, and then the meme was, I believe it was Ron Trump. Swanson, I think.
It was Trump.
Oh, it was Trump. Yeah. And it said thick with two C's. And I was like, I know that I'm not going to like this immediately. And so I popped it open. The scent was about the same for me as far as overpowering or what have you as the balm was, but it was fucking thick. And I didn't even use it. I'll put it that way, because I looked at it and I was like, I can see this. If it liquefies in my hands so that I can get it in my beard, what I envisioned whenever it starts to dry, making my beard hair cake together. That's what I envisioned. So I was like, I did look it up, and Target's the only place that I can find it. And the reason that I bring that up as well is because I'm extremely surprised that it's a store brand beard oil that is all natural. It's not full of shit.
Yeah, and that's the one, not to cut you off, but that's the one reason. I think I got this in like a gift set for Christmas or something like that. And that's the one reason that I figured let's have it on the show, because I was also very surprised, because most of the time you walk into a department store or supermarket, the products on the shelf are not something that I would recommend to anybody put near their face. But reading through these ingredients, they're all natural. And so I was like, let's give this a shot, because I hadn't used it. It had sat in the gift packaging for, you know, it might have been since last Christmas, to be honest with you. I just kind of overlooked it as one of those store brands. But when I really looked at it, I was like, oh, hell, let's try this. So,
yeah. And it does provide a degree of control that you expect from a balm without being greasy or shitty. So, yeah, I mean, for $8-9, something that you can get, you know, in a store that exists across the country, it's readily available. I think that's it's a damn good purchase. Jerry, what do you think?
Yeah. So when I got this, I looked it up. Like you both said, it's a Target brand. And what I found out is Target was trying to revamp their, I guess, like their men's section sort of deal. So they got like a whole lineup of clothes and everything. And from what I've seen on the website and whatever else, it looks like it's decent clothes. It's not like that standard, oh, you got that from Target or oh, you got that from, what's that, the Gap or whatever. Like you could tell where you got the shirt. It looks like decent stuff. So I actually used all the oil. I finished it this morning. And the first time I used it, I felt like, I can't remember his name, but the kid from the Little Giants when he puts the little sticky shit on his hand and he...
Hot hands.
Like... After they were in the huddle and he went to clap and he got stuck to his jersey and he's trying to catch the ball. That's what it felt like in the beard. Like it is a very thick, very sticky oil, which just like Paul, I'm not a big fan of. But let's see, it takes me about 35 minutes to get to work in the morning. By the time I get to work, it feels like it's completely absorbed in there. I don't get any residue off. And yes, at first it feels like it's matting and it's kind of like giving your beard like a dread lock sort of deal, like push it. But once it dries and absorbs in, it actually feels real nice in the beard. I had no complaints. The beard balm, I typically use butter. I'm not really looking for like control or whatever. I'm in Florida. It's humid as fuck. It doesn't matter what you use. Your shit's going to fly out anyways. I mean, I'd rather have something a little bit lighter like a butter than a heavier balm. So at first I was like, well, this shit feels heavy as hell. And then I realized it's a balm, not a butter. But overall, I had no complaints about this one. I probably personally wouldn't buy it, but if I got it as a gift like Paul did, I'd use the hell out of it. It was a little strange getting used to the thickness. I had to wet my beard a little bit more than I typically do, putting oil in it, just so it could glide through it, basically. But once it dried up, it felt phenomenal. Which I was real surprised from a box store, big name brand store oil. Yeah, about it. Good.
So, Chris, when you moved back, when you were done with the Army, how quickly were you like, fuck this shaving shit? It's time to grow my beard.
Almost immediately. Almost immediately. It's like you've been deprived for so long of doing this one thing. It's like, I'm going to do this thing. Luckily, I can grow a beard. I'm very thankful for that. My hairline on my head is receding, or like I like to say, retreating faster than the French army. Yes.
Look at Paul.
Yeah. So
Paul and I are the exact same. We're both bald.
My wife and I joke, and it's like there's about a 10-year maybe lifespan on this hair on my head. So for me, I'm cultivating like a good strong beard at this point to like build my own personal brand, if you will. And it's been a journey, honestly, you know, growing and how I treat my beard. I treat my beard better than I do the hair on my head.
Sure.
Because I know that's a lost cause. So if I'm going to grow hair somewhere, I'm going to try to make sure that this beard looks good. It's always rewarding when like you get a good compliment about your beard from somebody. I don't care who it is. If a dude tells me you got a good beard, great. Thank you. If a girl tells me I got a good beard, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take a compliment from anybody, but And my beard, you know, it's not like some beards. It is red. It is red. But it's not like that orangish.
It is red.
It's got like a good like hue to it, as I like to say. Not quite like in your face ginger, but just enough. And, you know, and hanging out with you and you giving me some beard samples, I've actually like learned a lot over time, relatively short period of time. But still, like the last oil you gave me, I can actually understand what you're talking about, Paul, with like the thickness of some beard oils versus other beard oils. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's like when it's super thick like that, it's almost like putting icing on a cake. It's just like you're like layering it on versus some other beards that just go straight in. But sometimes I find those thicker ones for me, it's like it lasts longer because there's so much of it there. You just got to work extra hard to get it deep into the crevices and where it needs to be versus, you know, a lighter oil that's going to, you know, just spread naturally, but it's also going to just go away pretty quickly too. Yeah. So it's a mixed bag. And yeah, growing a beard was definitely number one priority when I got out of the military. Yeah. I had to make that a thing for me.
Yeah. I haven't shaved my face in 8 years. And before that, I hadn't shaved my face in probably six. The only reason that there was a time in there is because my daughters had never seen me without my beard.
Oh.
And they were 2 and 3, and they asked me to shave.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched me do it. And this is how it went. Before I shaved, I was running the clippers, and I went right down one big strip right there. And that's all it took. And my daughter said, "Put it back, Daddy."
Mm.
And I was like, "Well, fuck, I can't do that. That's not how it works.
We've crossed the Rubicon."
Yeah, it's over with. So I had to go ahead and do it. But I fucking hate shaving. I've had a beard since I was in my 20s. I'm about to be 41. I detest it. So I feel for you and you know, your brothers in the military. You know, shaving sucks. It sucks really bad. So and luckily, like you said, you can grow a beard, and that's great. It's weird because you would think that the same genetics that affect your ability to grow hair on your head would also affect the ability to grow hair on your face.
Yeah.
And it's not the case at all. And I'm thankful for that. I've recently found pictures of myself in high school when I didn't have the beard. I look like a totally different person.
Yeah.
I know that Jerry's seen it because it was on Facebook. Paul doesn't Facebook at all. So Paul hasn't seen it. I'll show it to you here in a little bit. There are a few pictures of it in existence of me without a beard. There aren't very many because I've had a beard for so long and sort of made it my identity in a way, especially by, you know, starting and doing this podcast with these two guys here. Clearly having a beard is something that's important to us. None of us like to shave. We all have a whole lot of facial hair. And there's no reason not to care for it and to care for your face. So we try to, and we've been very fortunate and lucky to find a lot of products out there on the market that are good for your face. We have found some that aren't. And I'm sure that we've only highlighted one that was bad. And we had it on the show twice. Once because we used it and we were giving it praise. And then we looked back and found out that it was in fact full of garbage and made in China and terrible. And we had it on our Halloween episode because it was terrible. And we wanted to let our listeners know, hey, don't in fact use this because it's shit.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing to about doing this kind of show is like, we can have, you know, Malort on and be like, oh, that's gross, but I'm not using a beard product that I know is shit. Right. Just for the sake of giving a review and having my face and beard fucked up for like a week, you know, so we do our due diligence to look into these brands ahead of time, especially for the beard products, because it's not something I can just spit out. Or if we have a bad cigar, we just put it out. The beard product, we got to give it 2 to 3 days at least of use to make sure we can give an honest review. And if I go in knowing that this is a crap product because of the ingredients on the label and stuff like that, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not signing up for that. So we are lucky that we have been able to find some good brands, but we are seeking out the good brands. Sure. So it's gonna be rare that we find a brand that, other than the scent or the thickness or something like that, that we may not care for. But all of the ones that we have on the show are recommendations, I think, except for that one, that we really should never have had on the show and never mention their name again.
Sure.
Was also like a last second, like shit, like orders had, like we ordered a bunch of stuff and nothing came in yet. And it was like, all right, what can we get on Amazon? And, oh, this one looks good. And tried it for like 2 days. And then I think all three of us, like that next Monday was just like, why does my shit itch? Why is it fucking dandruff everywhere?
My fucking face hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, to that effect, I think that we probably all got some some brands in our back pocket that we could call out. And we might want to do a couple episodes where we actually do that just because, just as a way to kind of steer folks clear. But we have been fortunate in that most of the products that we have come across in our travels have been quality, all natural, American made. A lot of them are veteran owned companies. It's just been, we've been very fortunate that that's been the case. So yeah, this is a happy accident, as it were, since Paul got it as a gift from somebody that I don't know who they were, but I'm willing to bet they don't know a whole lot about beards. They just knew that Paul had a beard. And so they were like, well, here's a gift that I can give to him.
Look at, did they know?
Right.
They were, it was a decent product from a store.
Exactly.
It was store shelling.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that we've also found that most of the quality products have to be ordered directly from the company, or maybe they have Amazon presence, but most of the shit that you're going to see at Walmart or fuck, I almost said Kmart, Target, or what have you, anybody that carries these products on a store shelf where you can go physically pick it up, it's going to be shit. It's going to be absolute garbage. So, you know, that's fortuitous that this was actually a good product. So I thank you, Paul, for sending that out to us. Like I said, I was surprised that the scent was actually pleasing to me, because you know me, eucalyptus and mint are not my thing, but that was actually, I liked it. It was pleasant.
Well, I had mentioned Malort a minute ago, so
yeah,
just a little foreshadowing to this caramel bomb that I'm nosing and I want to go.
This pours on me. Here we go. So if you wouldn't mind, this is a pick. And for anybody that knows spirits the way that we know, mentioning Malort is probably going to tell you a little bit about what we're drinking. This is a Jepson's bourbon. Now, Jepson's makes Malort, for anybody that doesn't know, and it's one of the most vile things that's ever been bottled and put on the market. It's absolute garbage. I wish that I had some for you to try. Do you enjoy absinthe?
I have had absinthe, and it's not something that obviously I'm going to say, oh yeah, let's do absinthe tonight. That'd be great. But I mean, if it presents itself, I'll take it.
Okay.
This is,
well, if you like absinthe, you're not going to like Malort, because it's that's the closest spirit that I can think of. But Malort stands.
It's nowhere.
No,
it's nowhere close.
No,
only reason I liken it to absinthe is because of the anise that's involved with making Malort. But that's the only, like, that's the closest. But they're like, we're talking like fucking
go to the city, find a homeless person, take his sweaty ass socks off, wring that sock off in a glass and drink it, and it's probably better than Malort.
Yeah, I always tell people, if like when you're cleaning your lawnmower with the hose and you flip it upside down and you clean all that gunk out that's been in your lawnmower for like two or three cuts, grab that shit and squeeze it into your mouth.
For sure.
That's Malort.
So Malort is a Chicago staple, and native Chicagoans love to get people that aren't from Chicago to try Malort at a bar. They it's fucking comedy to them. I'm going to Chicago in a couple of weeks. I'll pick up a bottle.
Okay.
I'll bring it back so you guys can try it. It's fucking disgusting. But well, this is
not have it here.
This is made by the same company. This is Jepson's Birdwell. It's put out by the same company. This is actually MGP Distillate. And this is a pick from Happy Hour Liquors down in Nicholasville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Happy Hour has changed ownership.
Oh, really?
Of late. And they're owned now by a conglomerate that owns 30-something liquor stores around here, which means that Aaron, the previous owner, will no longer be involved with the picks, which sucks, because he's the reason why they have the best picks around.
That's true.
So if you're going to get their picks, now is the time to fucking do it before all of the picks that he was involved in have been sold.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Nighthawk and Dragon pick. I have another, which is Dragon and Nighthawk. If you're familiar with Step Brothers, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are on the tater sticker on the back of the bottle. This comes in at 120.66 proof. It will kick you in the balls. You know that you're drinking 120 proof bourbon. As Paul said, it is a caramel bomb on the nose, and I will save the rest of my notes for after everybody else is gone. Chris, how do you feel about it?
I definitely get the caramel, but also there's this weird, like, floral for me too. It's something it's subdued. It's not very prominent, but it's, there's something else happening there that I can't quite put my nose on it, so to speak. But definitely super nice on the nose. It's not overbearing. It's not burning my nose. It's not a punch in the face. It's just well-rounded, mm-hmm. if I could use that word. You know, I think it's something that you could bring a person who has no real concept or understanding of bourbon and say, here, just sniff this a little bit, and they would come away with something. You know, it wouldn't be too much in their face, even though it's punching above most other bourbons at the ABV. But on a side note, to just kind of shout out Happy Hour, a lot of liquor stores will have their store picks, and there'll be like a handful. This liquor store has shelves of store picks. Absolutely. And they're all quality.
110%. I have probably 10 of their picks in this house, mm-hmm. right now. Jerry has actually been there when he came in for our distillery tour. We get together every year and Paul's going to join us this year. Jerry may not be able to, because congratulations to Jerry. He's getting married later this year. So, but not only that, their bar is fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. They have very well priced, very fairly priced bottles of everything that you can imagine being in a bar, and things that you will never see anywhere else. Paul, I'm going to make sure that you get to experience the store and the bar when you come in. But yeah, it's a great place. Jerry, how are you feeling about it?
So when I was looking on the website to try to find information about this, because I think I might have sampled one of these when I showed up at your house. What was that, November or this summer, whatever it was. But it was the only time I've had Jepson's bourbon. I was looking on the website and it says, I think they're like their standard, I think it's 100 proof, is a blend of Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee bourbon. And I was wondering which, obviously this isn't Nickel from Tennessee, but I was kind of going back and forth on the nose, whether it was MGP or obviously from Kentucky, it could be a wide range, or if it was Green River, because I was getting like that. I still getting it like the blueberry, blackberry, like berry notes that I get from Green River. But at the same time, I'm getting that full like cherries and cinnamon or caramel bomb that I get from MGP. So I was curious to see which one that was from. But yeah, it's caramel, vanilla, and bear, like a blueberry, blackberry sort of deal for me on the nose.
Paul?
Yeah, on the nose, it's a caramel bomb. It's super caramel forward. It's hard to get past that, but there is like a little bit of a fruitiness on it as well. And I just took a sip because you guys talk slow. And that caramel, I mean, it's right there on the forefront on the palate as well. There is a slight fruitiness, but there's like a leather there too, like oaky leather. It's like big time. It's just like sweet up front, and then it goes boom right into that leather oak. And that's the finish, is like it's a spicy finish, a lot of oakiness on the finish though too. I mean, overall it's three notes, four note whiskey for me, but fantastic.
Yeah, I get the caramel for sure. I get the floral, and I also get a little bit of that Beam nuttiness out of it on the nose. It says right in the bottle that it's distilled in Indiana, so it's definitely MGP. I don't get that nuttiness on the palate. I do get the oak. I do get the leather. It ramps up to a citrus, and it stops just short of a citrus note for me, and then curls back the other way. The finish is definitely there, and it's got a hell of a Kentucky hug. You know, you get that chest, that burn. It is, you know, fairly uncomplex with the four notes, the four or five notes, whatever. I get a little bit of bubble gum in there too. But as we've touched on in this show in the past, complexity doesn't necessarily mean great bourbon, and simplicity doesn't necessarily mean terrible bourbon. It's a great bourbon, and it was $50 for this bottle.
Uh-huh.
So if this was something you could pick up, and Jepson's bourbon is going to be somewhat similar to this, just their standard Jepson's bourbon. You know, so don't skip out on those just because they're not a pick. But this particular pick, if this was a standard that you could pick up anywhere and everywhere at all times, for 50, 60 bucks. That's well worth the money. If you see a Jepson's bourbon on the shelf, fucking grab it because it's probably going to be pretty fucking good. I know that a lot of what they're getting is going to come from MGP. They may actually be picking up from Green River now. And if that's the case, if you see distilled in Kentucky on the side, it is probably going to be, you know, Green River. That's, you know, Barstown Bourbon Company bought them out specifically for that reason, to use them in their contract distilling, and everything that Green River makes is fucking incredible. We actually had some Green River last night and holy fuck. So yeah, great, great bottle. And I'm really pleased with it. We've got another one to touch on. It's the Dragon and Nighthawk. We'll touch on that one on another episode. It's a similar proof, and I'm willing to bet the barrels were pretty close together in the Rick House when they were aging. But yeah, fantastic bourbon.
It's a solid, especially for that $50 price range.
Yeah.
It definitely drinks 100 and whatever proof. It hits you. Caramel bomb. For me, like how Adam said, it ramps up into like a citrus and then falls short. The the caramel for me kind of runs up into like that tartness you get from like a blueberry or blackberry, but you don't get like that sweetness from it. You just get the tartness and then it hits, it kind of falls short of the berries, but it's solid, especially for that $50, $60 price range.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's good stuff.
I think for me, I get lots of cherry in the very beginning. And then it does have that Kentucky hug. It's going to warm you up. And the mouthfeel at the end,
it's incredible.
It's really great. I got the saliva kicking in. My mouth is tingling, you know, and that's what I want out of, you know, my higher proofs. You know, because it's a different experience than a lower proof. It goes without saying. I think this, like, if I'm drinking this bourbon, this is my Christmas bourbon. This is my, it's winter. It's a cold night outside. I'm staying inside, warming myself by the fire, so to speak. Probably watching a movie with my wife or something like that. I'm going to sip on this and relax in the evening. Yeah, I think the backbone for me was kind of more of a summer bourbon, if I can be like, you know, seasonal with it.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, Jerry's like a great bourbon and cigar pairing in the warm outside or even in the spring. And for me, I think like arguably, I think maybe a more robust cigar would actually pair really well. I think this pairing, the cigar and this actually do balance each other out really well. Mm-hmm. But I think almost maybe even a more robust cigar with this would actually be.
I could see that.
Not too much, but maybe just enough too.
Yeah. I'd like to see that, not the, cut you off, but I'd like to see a heavier cigar with this Jepson. I think it would, the flavors and the boldness of the cigar, I think would complement this one nicely. For me, the nuttiness of this cigar, kind of, they don't contrast the flavors of the whiskey, but it kind of brings in that nuttiness to it that to me doesn't fit into with the cigar, with the pour. So you get one of those like bold, heavy cigars with this, I think it'd be real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're working real well together, the cigar and the Jepson's, and I'm willing, I'm down. You know, they have samples of the other Jepson's bourbon, mm-hmm. like the Dragon and Nighthawk, which is the, you know, the brother bottle to this. Mm-hmm. So when we do that, we'll have to have you back, and we can all sit down and make that happen.
Yeah, that'd be a fun little experiment.
We'll have to pull out a heavy cigar for that one.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Maybe I've got a couple Ligas here. Maybe we can make that happen. They're fantastic cigars.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your experience with bourbon. What was your first love? You know, when was that? How did that go for you? What's the one bourbon that may have put you off of bourbon for a little bit? Mine was Jim Beam for a minute because I got sick. Yeah. You know, that kind of situation. Yeah. And just tell us a little bit about that.
It's funny you mentioned Beam, because like when I was in high school, drank a lot of Jim Beam. You know, it was readily available. You could always find somebody who had some. And we go to parties with Jim Beam. And honestly, kind of to this day, I really can't touch Jim Beam just because of how much I drank it. And I had a similar experience with Wild Turkey 101, which is such a shame. But I drank too much of that, I think. And it kind of like ruined my palate. towards it. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Old Forester, for me, Old Forester, Knob Creek, they're just, what they're doing is really good. But also, I would say Glen's Creek is some of the best bourbon. They're not out here to build some crazy brand. They're not pompous. They're not prominent. They're kind of, you know, people stop at Castle and Key and don't realize that they can go just down the road a little bit and get some really great juice. I mean, they're doing some really good stuff at the Old Crow Distillery. Highly recommend them. The stuff they're doing is fun. It's different. Some of it's actually old Crow recipes, even still.
Well, they harvested the yeast from the vat when they first opened. So OCD number 5 is actually made with the Old Crow yeast.
Mm-hmm. And it's solid stuff. Yeah, I mean, just so much flavor, so much happening.
That blue corn. The blue corn or whatever that they do?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. When we were there this summer, we tried it off the still and it was fantastic. You just probably can't call their tequila, the Cuervito Vito, that you can't call that anymore. Cause I think they
got a cease and desist letter from Jose Cuervo.
Really?
Yeah. Recently. Yeah.
Really?
Because
people are going to mistake their name.
Yeah. You know,
people are going to go to Glen's Creek to buy Jose Cuervo because that's the only place you could buy that shit.
Because one would. Yeah. Also, I'll say this about those dudes. Really cool guys. They're just...
Yeah, Cranky Dave's awesome.
Yeah.
Dave is fucking awesome.
They're not snobs about it, but they put out a video recently where it was like all their barrels in their warehouse. They're like, we're not here to make a brand. We're here to make good bourbon.
Sure.
And I respect that, you know.
They do make good bourbon. That, like Jerry mentioned, that blue corn they had some that was actually fermenting, and you know, Dave let us have a swipe, you know, and it's holy fuck. It's I'm looking for
remember that experiment. Remember that experimental that he had fermenting?
Oh god, like, yes. That was that, a, holy
it,
shit.
It tasted like a black bean salsa or something like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking out for both.
It was weird as hell, but it tasted fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's the only distillery that I know of that actually has a beer keg still that's actually in production.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't have big, expensive equipment and all that, so.
It's guerrilla warfare in that
distillery. For sure. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, but the product they turn out with what they have is crazy. It's phenomenal.
Sure.
And I love that that's, like, just such a unique Kentucky thing, Glen's Creek.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you should know.
Sure.
You should find out.
Sure.
And I always tell people when people ask me, like, you know, what's the bourbon brand you're into? Like, who do you recommend? Glen's Creek. Go down the road to Glen's Creek because that's where it's at.
Slave and Barrel is hands down one of the best bourbons out there.
Oh, by far.
I mean,
and it's reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Too. You know, it's not overbearing. It's not, you know, you're not paying $100 for a bottle of bourbon, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, like, my top shelf bourbon that I've literally never had a bottle owned because I can't afford it, but I actually have had this bourbon and it was like shockwaves through my system. It was Colonel E.H. Taylor 4 grade. It was probably one of my favorite bourbons. Maybe I propped it up a little bit in my head because I was like, ooh, E.H. Taylor 4 grade, but it was actually at the Whiskey Bear.
Okay.
They had a bottle. And I forget, it was like $20 for like a 2 or 3 ounce pour or something like that. But man, that had just so much happening to it. Almost too much to describe. And I really love that bourbon.
Good. I've never had that one, but I'm interested. I do have some Taylor, but you know, it's not the 4 grain.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that does it for another episode, Bourbon Beards and Belvederes. Make sure to check out these products. BackboneBourbon.com, AltadisUSA.com. That's a Romeo y Julieta. That's AltadisUSA.com. You can also find those on JRCigars.com. You can, you know, find those for a pretty good price. You can find the Goodfellow and Company oils and balms on Target.com. And you can find the Jepson's at Jepson'sBourbon.com. or malort.com if you're feeling adventurous, but don't feel adventurous on that because it's fucking disgusting. You will regret everything. You can find us at bourbonbeardsandbelvedere.com. You can find us at on Instagram at bourbonbeardsandbelvederes and on TikTok at BURBN Beards Belvederes because TikTok is fucking stupid and won't allow us to make the username what we want it to be. We're also on Facebook at Bourbon Beards and Belvederes, but we don't really fucking use it. And there's a YouTube channel out there that we really need to make happen. And then, you know, also look out for, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I got some ideas that we'll chat about after this episode.
Okay,
cool. For that YouTube. So I'm down. Maybe soon we'll get some videos up there.
Sure. And then be on the lookout for Whiskey Scientists. We're launching that in the future. We're trying to figure out how to make that happen, being that we're not close to each other, but we've got plans. We've got some things that we've talked about, so we'll make that happen too. Yeah. As always, you know, support your veterans. You know, they gave a lot. They need our support. Never ever forget how veterans were treated after they came back from Vietnam and never fucking do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you support children because, you know, they're innocent and they need our support as well. And until next week, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys. Post. And thank you, Chris, for joining us.
Oh, thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's a privilege to be
here. Thank him, Adam.
I thanked him at the beginning, Jerry.
Bourbon Beards and Belvederes is produced by Adam Bolden, Paul Rousseau, and Jerry Ullman. Editing by Adam Bolden. Music by Ryan Johnson. You can find the links to all our social media accounts on our website at bourbonbeardsandbelvederes.com. As always, enjoy your bourbon and cigars responsibly. Cheers!